My name is Mia Sawaya, and I'm at the Timberline Recycling Facility with Susie and Jason. Do you guys want to introduce yourself really quick?
Okay, so my name's Susie Gordon, and I'm the program manager for the City of Fort Collins Waste Reduction and Recycling Program.
And I'm Jason Comas. I'm a waste reduction recycling specialist. I work with Susie.
Okay, let's start with an explanation about what goes on at the facility. So do you guys just collect recycling, or do you actively recycle it as well?
Right, okay. The Timberline Recycling Center was built in 2016 at 1903 South Timberline. It moved from a location on Riverside that had been there since 2002. So we moved over and expanded and added some new features to the facility. So people can bring their everyday recyclables, and we're talking about bottles and cans and newspaper and cardboard, as well as now plastic film, like single-use bags, to the Timberline Recycling Center. And they can also bring hard-to-recycle materials to the West Yard, which is open 5 days a week and staffed by a couple of attendants who will help you with things like batteries and paint.
Nice. So can you explain why people need to pay for the hard recycling area?
Yeah, the East Yard, where we collect everyday recyclables, has always been a free facility. And those are materials that have usually a fairly steady and dependable price in the market, in the commodity markets. The materials that we're collecting in the West Yard, however, are materials that have expenses involved in getting them recycled. So like electronic waste needs to be dismantled and kind of handled appropriately. Yard debris has to be ground up. And so these are the materials that actually have some sunk costs, you know, that it requires in order for us to be able to accept them from the public.
I know you guys have a very thorough recycling guide on your website, but what are some of the problems caused by not properly recycling?
Well, I'd like to touch on what we call contamination in, you know, the recycling world. And that's basically putting materials into the recycling bin that maybe we're not sure that they're recyclable. They maybe resemble something else that we would typically put into a recycling bin, but a lot of times they're not recyclable, and we call that a contaminant. And those contaminants, you know, need to be sorted out by either machinery or by a person. And, you know, every time recycling has to be touched or sorted, it's probably a cost. And so it devalues the quality of the recyclables and those materials. So I wanted to allude to that. I think Fort Collins recyclers are great. We have such dedicated individuals, and just the sheer fact that folks come over here, take the time to sort them out. We have great recyclers, but we can be better. Keeping contaminants, things that are questionably recyclable, I would say when in doubt, leave them out. And then find out. You know, we answer a lot of questions at the office about recyclable items, and if something's recyclable or not, we're happy to do that.
It's amazing how many people do call us at 221-6600, and they have, you know, kind of specific questions, and they care, and they really want to do it right. And so we appreciate people taking the extra time. Our website, fcgov.com/recycling. It turns out it's one of the most heavily trafficked websites that the city has. And it's because people are taking the time to look around. And we've got something called the A to Z directory. It's got lots of information about where other types of material, kind of, again, non-conventional materials can be taken in town. We try to keep that updated. And surprisingly, people are on it a lot.
Absolutely.
I know on your website that it mentions that there have been some issues with China regarding recycling. So if you could go into details about that and explain why we send our recycling to them in the first place, that would be great.
Okay. So one of the things that's really complicating the recycling world is where to send our materials. For years and years, for probably the last two decades, we've been sending our recyclable materials to China. And they were glad to buy them from us at a pretty good price. They were in expansion mode. The country was developing more than it has been lately. But they began to realize that the materials that were coming from not just the U.S., but Europe and other parts of the world often had trash in them. And what we called contaminants, you know, anything that wasn't meant to be collected. And they after a point, just began to make it more restrictive. And you kind of can't blame them. They were seeing things like medical waste and syringes and dirty diapers and stuff. It was It was really unacceptable, and they began to close down some of their opportunities. So the U.S., sadly, has become very dependent on those foreign markets, and we've lost a lot of our domestic recycling processing capability. So we shuttered a lot of our paper mills, and we haven't invested in the equipment it takes to recycle plastics.
And are these issues political or financial?
No, it's completely financial. You know, it was so much easier to send it on a big old ship to China and get paid for it than to keep it, you know, in the U.S. and have to upgrade facilities. You know, it's the truth is that the labor is a lot cheaper in Asia. So, and that's really probably at the root of it, almost more than the capital investment it takes to build these plants and maintain them.
What other issues does the facility deal with financially?
Yeah, we were talking about styrofoam and how it's just such an expensive proposition to get it densified, to get the air out of it so you can make a load, a semi-truck load and send it to Michigan or California. So there are certain materials that until we can find a processor that's closer, that we don't have to ship so far to, will probably continue to be just really complicated for us to make it work. Although we know that's what people would really love. I don't know. I think illegal dumping is kind of an ongoing issue.
Yeah, you know,
we see a certain amount, right?
Yeah, I mean, we have folks that are you know, that'll certainly drop stuff off here that aren't sure about what's happening, as well as maybe on sides of roads or you know, whatnot. I think you know, when we think in terms of shipping, that's one place where fuel prices and energy costs are impact whether something is recyclable in the true sense of the form. That's
yeah, what I mean, think. Some materials are going a long distance away. I mean, we were talking about how some of the plastics go to Georgia, for instance, to make carpets or poly fleece garments. That's a long way to take material.
And that stresses you guys out financially, right?
Well, not us so much. Just the recycling markets in general. I mean, what we try to do is find as close a source as we can, right? I mean, just,
I agree.
You know, if the plastics can be processed here, and that's what's happening with our plastic film and some of these new materials that we're going to begin to accept, the heavy, the durable.
Bulky rigid plastics,
yeah.
I would think
if we can get them to, you know, locally processed, then they can be transported to Alabama or wherever.
So I think with what Susie's saying too is just that end markets really kind of dictate. So the end users, you know, and whether they're willing to pay for the raw material and then be able to manufacture it into something at cost effectively, manufacture it into something that's marketable. So I think that's one of the kind of the tenets of sustainability and recycling is that, you know, supporting end markets, supporting by buying materials that are using recycled content, help support the whole process, creating that end market and that end use so that there is some value and efficacy for processors and manufacturers to produce their products and buy the recycled materials or the recyclable materials.
And you guys are government funded for the most part, right?
Well, the city of Fort Collins budgets the money to run the Timberline Recycling Center. As I mentioned earlier, we've been doing this now for 16 years, going on 17. It's just a perennially popular facility for the community, upwards of 335 visits a day.
On the free side,
On the free side. And so it's, you know, it's often really busy here. We see a lot of folks, you know, using it on a routine basis. And they seem to appreciate the convenience. It's pretty easy to be in and out. And so I think the city council realizes that it's valued and it has, you know, a sort of place in the, shall I say, the fabric of the community. I mean, it's really part of the culture of the Fort Collins community is that recycling is really important.
And speaking about the community, I know you guys have an event coming up this Saturday. So if you guys want to talk about that a little bit, that would be great.
Sure. So we're having a special collection event related to recycling, not to be confused with our household hazardous waste collection event that's held at another facility. But this one in particular, we're calling it Buckets, Beds, and Shreds, where buckets connote bulky rigid plastics. So those are number two, high density polyethylene, number five, polypropylene. Plastics like buckets, but could be lawn chairs and laundry baskets, things like that. And then, of course, beds is mattresses and box springs. And then shreds is our secure document shredding. So we'll bring these things in occasionally and be able to collect these types of items if we can get them at a volume big enough to where they're marketable for our vendor that takes them and processes them. So the event is on October 6th. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's a $5 gate fee associated with that. So it's the same as what we do during normal operation hours. So the buckets, bulky rigid plastics, are acceptable for $5. The $5 gate fee covers the cost of those. And then mattresses and box springs, they're $10 each plus the $5 gate fee.
So the items you're taking this Saturday are not normally accepted at the facility, right?
That's correct. Yeah. So these are limited in what we can accept on these days. So it's going to be, well, I say limited what we accept, but we're accepting everything else that we normally accept plus bulky rigid plastics, mattresses and box springs, and documents for secure shredding. So it's still a $5 gate fee applies, $10 per mattress or box spring. And then we're looking at $5 for a banker's box or a file box full of secure documents for shredding. And one of the reasons why we have these special collection events, one, it's a great test or, you know, pilot to see if there's enough material or demand in the community to manage these materials and recycle them appropriately, get them recycled. If people need, you know, have these materials and want to get rid of them without putting them in the landfill, to see if we can generate enough of that. The other is that certainly people have asked for it. So it's a way of taking some things that we don't normally collect and being able to find a market for them and managing them appropriately, keep them out of the landfill.
Can I mention that one of the very cool things about holding these special collection events, it is a way for us to sort of test, you know, what it is that people are interested in recycling. But the other cool thing is that we get to partner with some other recyclers in the community. So, for instance, the mattresses are accepted by a company that's called Springback Mattress. They're located here in Fort Collins as well as Denver. But they are able to offer a discounted price on accepting the mattresses and box springs at these special collection events because they get enough of them. But we really love this young company. They offer redemptive services or employment to folks who are perhaps recovering from addictions or out of prison or something like that. So it's kind of a cool opportunity to bring those folks. You know, they've got jobs and they're doing something important in the recycling industry. So we're really, you know, really happy that that kind of opportunity comes up sometimes.
So I think that, you know, another ancillary benefit is introducing folks to the facility who maybe haven't utilized it before, and seeing all the other things that we can collect and are accept over here, including, you know, cooking oil or used motor oil, things like that.
I also want to add that your facility is very organized. So if people are intimidated by coming there, just know that the signs on the facility are very helpful.
I think that's a great point. And the two gentlemen that we have, there's two gatehouse attendants that are located at the site that will help direct folks with questions on where the appropriate, you know, where to place your materials and kind of point out and make the process easier and a little less, you know, potentially confusing for folks. But nonetheless, it's a very welcoming site.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that the people who come to our special collection events are often here for the first time, and they get a chance to see firsthand how it runs. And so we love this is about the sixth special collection event we've held, and the numbers just go up each time. More and more people are learning about it. I mean, we've been open for 2 years, and so we understand it takes a while, kind of word of mouth to get up, but we really hope people will come out and check out the Timberline Recycling Center this Saturday from 9 to 3.
Yes, and I think it might be worth mentioning earlier in the conversation, but our hours of operation are different on the pay side, the hard to recycle materials yard versus the free side. Free side's open during daylight hours 7 days a week, but the hard to recycle materials yard is Tuesday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 during the winter, and in the summer months, it's 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that information is all on our website as well.
Thank you, Susie and Jason, for the interview. The special collection event at the Timberline Recycling Facility is this Saturday, October 6th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m.